You know, sometimes I think about all the freedoms that we have, the liberties that we have in this country, and even in our churches, and it's easy to fall into the trap of or being entrapped with something, a bad habit, bad sins, there's no good sins, but sins and bad habits, bad addictions and stuff like that. And so Jesus says here that if we follow him, he says, if you continue to follow me, you will be my real disciples. And if you follow me and you become my real disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In other words, he doesn't say only the truth will set you free. He connects it with knowing the truth that will set us free. Once we know the truth, once we experience him as the truth, he says, then that moment you will be set free. There's a story of a wealthy businessman a long time ago when they had slavery and they had slave markets. And people could go to these markets and buy slaves. So this wealthy businessman went to the slave market and he saw a very strong young man, but who had been severely mistreated. He looked at this young man and he saw his sadness. He saw his suffering. He saw the pain and the deep agony that this young man was going through. And the owner of this slave had set a high price because this was a very strong young man. But the businessman, he had enough money. He said, I only want to buy one slave, and that is this young man. He paid the price. And so he told the ones that were with them there, he said, set this man free. Unshackle him. And so they took the chains off. He was free. No iron around his wrists or legs. He was totally free. And so this new owner told this young man, he said, young man, you are now free to go wherever you want to go. You're free to establish your own life. Go and be blessed. You have the freedom. You're no longer a slave. The slavery has ended. The young man hesitated and hesitated. He couldn't leave. He came to the owner and fell to his feet. He said, sir, I want to be your slave for the rest of my life because you have set me free. And that's what I picture that we as God's children feel like when Jesus sets us free. That we then, on our own free will, we come back to Jesus. We say, Jesus, we want to be your servants. We want to be at your command. Whatever you say, you shall be done in our lives. That is what this song that the young lady sang was all about. It is gone. It's finally gone. The slavery is gone. The pain, the agony of slavery and sin is gone because Jesus set me free. In Romans 6, verse 15, we read this, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, but thanks be to God
Though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. So we have a choice. In other words, the Apostle Paul says, we will be slaves one way or another, but we have a choice whom we want to serve. The master of sin that leads to death and eternal hopelessness and lostness, or the master of life who gives us and blesses us with peace, forgiveness, and who gives us a guilt-free life. Have you thought of that? A guilt-free life. In verse 20 in Romans 6, we continue to read, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is nothing but death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit of holiness and the end after everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So he says that, in other words, when we are slaves to sin, we cannot serve God, because sin prevents us and shuns us from the service of God. But once Jesus comes and he intervenes and he sets us free, he breaks the chains of slavery of sin. He breaks the chain of addiction. He breaks the chain that keeps us from serving the Lord with joy. And then we are free in him. How wonderful is that? Now, the Bible tells us that this freedom is based on one action that we have to make, that we have to take, a step of obedience. All we have to be concerned about is to obey Christ. And he says, if you keep my commandments, if you do what I tell you, if you become my servants, if you have a listening ear to what I have to say, if you obey me, then I will manifest myself to you. I will be in your life, Jesus says. I will reveal myself to you and me and my Father in Romans, John chapter 14. Me and my Father, we will come and live, make our abode with you. And that means we will fill you with the Holy Spirit. You will have such joy. You will have such power and strength and such hope and such a guilt-free conscience that you will just not want any other life anymore. That's what Jesus offers. So real freedom is a personal experience. You cannot ride on the coattails of your parents or other believers and say, well, because my parents were believers, so I am automatically a Christian. No, it's not that way. You know, faith is not really inherited automatically. Faith is a very personal matter. And we have to remember that. We learn from lessons from the people of Israel as they came out of Egypt. First, they were spared death at the Passover as God intended to free them from the slavery in Egypt. And then they came to the Red Sea and they panicked when Pharaoh pursued them. And then we read kind of that a lot of them just went along for the ride. They kind of enjoyed this journey for a while. And then it became very burdensome. And Moses had difficulty convincing them that God wanted them to truly be free.
But for this freedom, there were instructions. For this freedom, there were going to be commandments. For this freedom, there were supposed to be guidelines. Because if we don't have guidelines as Christians, if we don't have limitations, if you will, if we don't obey commands that God has for us, we will not be free indeed, as Jesus promised. So in the desert, the Israelites were tested, and they were severely tested. They didn't have enough to eat, so they complained. They didn't have enough to drink, so they complained. They complained about this, they complained about that, and they complained about Moses. They were so distraught. They didn't like Moses' leadership, especially when he was at the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. He was there talking with God and receiving the commands that he was supposed to give Israel. Why did they complain? Why were they so miserable in the desert? Because slavery was still in their hearts. It wasn't that they hadn't been freed physically. They were free now physically, but in their hearts they were still enslaved and wanted to go back to Egypt. See, this is when the world becomes very attractive to us believers. That is a slavery that is wrong. That is a slavery that intends to entice us and draw us away from God and His guidance and His laws. In so many hearts, people try to get rid of addictions, but their mentality doesn't allow them to. Their minds are trained to think addiction, to think dependency. But God, through Jesus Christ, can set that person free, even alcoholics, even drug addicts. He can set the person free that the mind doesn't even desire it anymore. And that is a deliverer that only Jesus can fill. The heart of the message of Jesus is that as Israel was oppressed at one time, in Jesus' time, the Romans occupied Israel or Palestine, and they were collecting and demanding taxes for Caesar. And many hoped that a deliverer would come, and this deliverer would free them from their political and financial bondage. And this is oftentimes all that people think. They think that government is their God, and government can give them the freedoms, and government can take the freedoms away, and government can do this, and government can do that. That is not trust in God. See, they had their priorities wrong. And this is why Jesus says, look, if I set you free, I'm going to set you free from the inside, not from the outside. And they were bitterly disappointed in Jesus that he wasn't a political leader. At one time, they wanted to make him king. They wanted to make him the ruler so that he would finally drive out the Romans, because they were sick and tired of this Roman yoke. And Jesus said, no, my freedom is a lot deeper than that. Because if Israel would have been freed from the bondage of the Roman yoke, they would still be enslaved in their sins. And that's what Jesus came for. There was another bondage that the religious leaders had in Jesus' time, and that was the bondage under the law, the Old Testament law. And the leaders had made over 600 additional laws of cleanliness and all this stuff that people had to adhere to, and they would easily sin if they forgot one of the laws. And it was very difficult to live. And the religious leaders made that yoke that Israel had even heavier on them. And Jesus says, you don't even want to touch them with one finger, but you teach people like this. And he was very, very saddened and burdened with the people. He said they went around like sheep without a shepherd. Nobody cared for their souls. They were focused on the religious practices, on
keeping the Old Testament law, but Jesus offered them freedom that they had never experienced before. And you know, Jesus wants you and me to experience freedom personally that only he can give. Listen carefully. He says, whoever lives in sin is a slave and servant to sin. Jesus said that, not me, not anybody else. Jesus himself said that. If you live in sin, you are a slave to sin. You're not a servant of God. You're not serving God, you're serving sin. Because whatever sin wants, whatever the addiction dictates, that's what you have to do. But then he goes on to say, whoever trusts or believes in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and submits under his lordship, that the Lord becomes the only Lord, not God and mammon, not God and sin and the world and God and this, but only the Lord, that he is the Lord of all over your life. If you come to that point through repentance and through godly sorrow, and you bring your sins and you bring everything that's in you to the Lord, and he breaks the chains of addictions, the chains of sin, and he sets you free. And then you are free indeed. But now the Bible warns us that we need to, in living in real freedom, includes that we take positive action. Freedom has become, for many people, a license to do evil. And a lot of people live like this in our country and in the U.S., in the free world. They say, well, if it's legal, then it's okay to do it, you know. You know that adultery is actually legal? You can go and commit adultery, and you're not going to be put in jail for it. It's legal. It's legal to smoke marijuana. It's legal to do all kinds of things. In your house, you have the right, you have the freedom to get drunk as anything, as a sailor, as the saying goes. You have that freedom. But that doesn't make it right. And many people use freedoms and say, well, we have the freedom to speak whatever we want. We have the freedom to say whatever we feel like saying, because that's freedom of speech. In the States, the freedom, and it's constitutional, the freedom to bear arms. And that has been pushed, too, to a great extent. We have freedoms. We have freedom to protect ourselves. We have freedom to believe whatever we want to believe. But you know, with God, there are limitations. Yes, we have freedom. We have freedom of choice. And you and I have freedom. We can deny God. We can become atheists. We can become whatever we want. Agnostics, whatever you want. You have the freedom. But with those decisions, with those freedoms, come dangers, because every decision we make has consequences. And you and I have to rely on this, that God has put the law cause and effect into every action that we take. So we don't have all the freedom to do what we please. We have the freedom to do what pleases God. And for that, it takes a special freedom. It takes a special, a certain license, if you will, to do what pleases God, becoming slaves to righteousness. So we shouldn't misuse it. Let's read Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. In Galatians 5, verse 13 and 14. You have been called to live in freedom. Other translations say liberty, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Oh, we never thought about that. You know, if I have freedom and I can do whatever I want, I mean, I want to please myself, right? No, in Christian life, it's right the opposite. We are free to serve one another. We are free to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love, for the whole law, the law that used to enslave everybody, the law can be summed up in this one common command: love your neighbor as yourself, says Paul. That is the freedom. Do we have the freedom to love one another as ourselves? Do you have that freedom, or are you dealing with selfishness and all this trouble of just looking out for number one? We need to exercise freedom that God gives us responsibly. This is what the Apostle Peter refers to as well in 1 Peter 2, verse 13 and through 16. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. This is concerning government, for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty or freedom as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God. You see, the freedom in Christ is that we become so selfless, free from ourselves, free from selfishness, that we serve God willingly. We don't use our liberty as a cloak for selfishness. We don't use freedom unresponsibly, but responsible. Churches often are afraid of losing their property rights, and that time may come. We may be deprived of many rights that we enjoy right now, the freedoms that we have in our country. And I fear that a time is coming where a lot of persecution will come even to the free world, to those who believe in Christ, those who really serve him. And that's when we need to be ready to live in that inner freedom, to practice that inner freedom, even if we don't have the outward freedom. You see, we have so many opportunities. We have the freedom to come to worship the Lord in a church like this, in a setting like this. You know, I was told repeatedly in the past, if there would be wartime, if there would be a famine, if there would be a great, great disaster happening in this country, our churches would be full. Well, why are they not full now, while we have the freedom? If there's persecution, then people really want to do what they're forbidden to do. It's this human nature, I guess, because this is how God has spread the gospel, through persecution. When the church in Jerusalem got very comfortable, they had over 5,000 people at one time, and they got together, and they were together daily in the temple, and they praised God, and God did marvelous things. And then God spread them through persecution, and they had to flee for their lives, and they went to different countries, different areas, and they spread the gospel wherever they went. And that's how the gospel reached even to us in our day and time. And sometimes God uses the outward pressure to give us that value of the inner freedom to then share Christ and the gospel with others. And I pray that we would do that even when we have the freedoms to come to worship services. Some of us, we take it for granted. And the Bible warns us that we should not leave out the gathering together of the believers, as some do. Even in Bible times, some did. They didn't see it necessary to be in church. They didn't see it necessary to come and pray with God's people. But if we don't do it, that freedom can one day be
taken away from us. Can you imagine you're on your deathbed, you know you're going to die, and then you have these regrets? And one of the regrets would be, man, I wish I would have been more active in the church. I wish I would have prayed more with the church. I wish I would have been more available for God and for his church. God warns us that we shouldn't misuse our freedoms. We shouldn't pass up opportunities, but we should use the time that is at hand wisely. Let's use the freedom we have to witness, the freedom to hand out a scripture. We have wonderful scriptures now that we can hand out. Next Sunday, Brother Klinger, Pastor Klinger, will share with us what we can do to spread God's word, and I'm excited about it, that we can start doing that and just sharing God's word with others. We have that freedom. You know, when you hand a magazine full of scripture and a beautiful, attractive piece of reading to someone, it's not against the law. You can share that. And that's the freedom we have. We have the freedom to intercede for others. We have the freedom to bring all our needs to God, even together. And this is what we need to take advantage of. Don't misuse the freedom. Don't neglect this freedom that God has given us. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. I want to close with this scripture. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That is the freedom that Christ has given us. Let's think about this. We are freed to be free. We are free to practice the liberty in Christ, to practice our faith. Let's do it wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, not lukewarmly, not in apathy, but wholeheartedly, just clinging to Christ, loving one another, serving one another, sharing the gospel, doing good as long as we have time. The Lord bless us all. Amen.